31st of March, the Annunciation of the Lord. This is Leon Pereira from Leicester, England. No space for zero. Young people in love have a quaint way of measuring the duration of their love. They speak not in terms of years, because they haven't yet got to that stage, but in terms of months. This is our 6th month anniversary, they say. Surely a year, an annus, has to go by for anything to be an anniversary. Maybe the correct term for a 6th month anniversary is a sexomensual or a sexomensuary, but neither of those sound terribly good. Apart from the very young, who speak in terms of pluses, I'm 7+ or I'm 17+, the rest of us usually just stick to the years, whether we're honest or not in our tallying. A year is a basic unit of measurement, a measurement of time, of our time. A year goes by and we think, where was I last year? What was I doing a year ago today? What have I achieved since then? All these things need a reference point, and for that you need a calendar. The most commonly accepted calendar is the Christian one, and perhaps that is not just a coincidence. We mark our years with AD, Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord. Everything before that is BC, before Christ. There is no year zero. 1 BC is followed immediately by AD 1. The years before Christ end abruptly, and then there is Christ. There is no gap for a zero. Due to an error about when King Herod died, we now believe that the actual birth of Christ was about 4 or 5 BC. But let's ignore that for now. The intention of Dionysius Exiguus, the monk who devised this reckoning of the years, was to make the incarnation of Christ the defining moment of human history, even in human calendars. Dionysius didn't intend for his calendar to begin with Christ's birth on the 25th of December, or with the old Roman beginning of the new year on the 1st of January. He made his calendar begin today, on the 25th of March, on the solemnity of the Annunciation of the Lord, which this year has been transferred to today, to the 31st. But as Dionysius reckoned it, on 21st March AD 1, Jesus Christ was conceived in the womb of his mother Mary by the power of the Holy Spirit. The day before, 24th March, fell in the year 1 BC. Just that difference of one day signified all the difference in the world, the difference between living before Christ and living in the year of our Lord. It was only in 1752 that the United Kingdom and her colonies changed to 1st January as the beginning of the new year. Now, even today, our financial new year still falls around this time in early April. But that is because it too originally fell on the 25th of March. It is only the change from the Julian to the Gregorian calendar that has left it stranded in April. The calendar reminds us of the most earth-shattering event the earth has ever known, and it is earth-shattering. Unlike the sign King Ahaz is asked to seek in the first reading, this sign is more than being as deep as Sheol or as high as heaven. The incarnation is not simply the crossing of the depths of space and time. It is the infinite uncontained God stepping into his own finite creation. The eternal Word of God becomes a baby, or more precisely, becomes an embryo in the womb of Mary. This is the high point of history. In the fullness of time, the Word became flesh, and in his becoming flesh, he made time full. What could be more shocking? Every mythology that has a quasi-incarnation invariably recounts a pseudo-incarnation. God or the gods assume a human form, which they can shake off at any time. But the Word of God assumes a complete human nature, created for him, properly his. And he does not treat it as a game, does not shake it off. But he lived among us as a true human being, one like us in every respect but sin. In his human nature he suffered and died, and though his body was buried and his soul descended among the dead, in his resurrection he reunited the two, never more to be separated, because he is in glory. The Word of God is still incarnate and always will be. He does not become one of us simply as a game to slough off this created nature at a later date. He loves us so much that he became one of us and will always remain one of us. God became a man to show us his friendship and to draw us into friendship with himself, with the Trinity. And the gracious possibility of this story began on 25th of March in the first year of our Lord.